Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The Warbler is the whispering tree, and the rowan is the sheltering tree. The willow is the weeping tree, and the oak is waiting.
From newsounds.org, this is a remote edition of Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. The members of Spell Songs are among the leaders in the British folk scene, and they are, as you might expect, from places in England and Scotland, but also from Senegal in West Africa. And in addition to the seven musicians, Spell Songs really has two more members, the writer Robert McFarlane and the artist Jackie Morris, whose books on nature, and especially the disappearing language that we use to describe the natural world, have led to the two volumes of Spell Songs released so far. Spell Songs Volume 2 is called Let the Light In, and we've caught up with the group in London, where they're going to perform a couple of songs from the recent album, but they're going to start us off with something from the first Spell Songs record, which was called The Lost Words. Here, with a song called Heron, is Spell Songs.
Steady wing me to the light. Now, Heron,
the band Spell Songs with a song called Heron. Words by Robert McFarlane from the book called The Lost Words, which he did with illustrator Jackie Morris, and that song is from the first volume by the band Spell Songs, which is also called The Lost Words, but that was a live performance. So let me introduce you to the members of Spell Songs. Longtime New Sounds listeners will perhaps recognize many, if not most of them. In that song, Heron, everyone sang, and Chris Devers played guitar, Jim Molyneux the piano, Sekou Keita plays the kora, the traditional West African harp, Beth Porter, Rachel Newton, Corrine Polwart, and Julie Fowlis all provided those rich vocal harmonies. Now, because interviewing seven people around one mic would be a logistical nightmare, two of the group are joining me at that one mic. Sekou Keita, the Senegalese kora player, and Julie Fowlis, the Scottish singer. Hey, thanks for that.
A pleasure.
Thank you.
The idea of Spell Songs, I mean, this album, Let the Light In, it's volume two, Julie. How did volume one first come together with this kind of A-list of musicians from all over the British Isles?
It was a project that was created by Caroline and Adam Sloan, who are festival organisers and event organisers. And they were very familiar with the work of Jackie Morris and Robert McFarlane through the book The Lost Words. But they decided to approach Jackie and Rob to see if they'd be interested in having a musical side to The Lost Words. And when that was all agreed in principle, they curated a list of musicians and singers that they thought would work well together. And then we were all invited individually, and it grew from there.
Wow. Well, you know, having heard Heron, that is from the first album, The Lost Words, the first of the Spell Songs records. And I don't know if you're familiar with Dylan Thomas and A Poem on His Birthday, where the heron is this kind of dark image. You know, he's almost a harbinger of death. Here, the heron is something very different. I mean, the whole point of these songs seems to be this kind of celebration of nature in maybe a cautionary way. Would that be fair to say?
I think so. I think the approach to every song is different. There's sometimes a collective response and sometimes an individual response. And with Heron, this was really, I remember the song coming together. It was yourself and Chris and Jim, and you had very strong visual in your head, I think.
I have. Well, seeing the heron, I was kind of excited about it because when I opened the book, for me, that's the one that stood up for me. Mm-hmm. And because I can relate into it, seeing it where I come from originally. And then there's a lot of talk about it, a lot of jokes as well about it. So I went for it. And collectively working together with all these amazing musicians. So this is, it for me, was kind of a light up, a upbeat that needed, because seeing the busy.
And it feels like there's great energy and light and the sense of journey perhaps too with Aaron.
And so most of the singing, of course, is in English, but Sekou, you're kind of responding. It's almost call and response, and you're singing in, is it Mandinka? Is that the language you're using?
Yes. That's my mother tongue, Mandinka. And of course, English is my fifth language, so.
Wow.
And in fact, the tradition of call and response is something that that I'd be very familiar with in the Gaelic tradition. And the other singers too. So this idea of call and response is something that feels very natural to us, and it seemed it was easy to respond to that form, and it made sense, I guess.
Yeah.
So most of the songs on these two volumes are based on Rob McFarlane's writings, right?
Rob and Jackie carefully choose the spells and the creatures and you know, so they it's definitely both of them working together to create. I mean, ultimately Rob is writing the spells and Jackie is creating the art, but this is very much the two of them working together to shape the books.
Yeah. There is, I mean, there's the occasional exception. Julie, you did a version of a traditional song, the St. Kilda Wren. How the idea of these pieces as spells is not so far removed from one of the traditional uses of folk song in that part of the world.
Not at all. I mean, many, some of the songs that I sing are, very, very old songs, and they date back to collections which are, which include charms and incantations and blessings as well. So these are they're not new ideas, but it's lovely to approach them in a contemporary way. The St. Kilda Wren, for example, this is more of a lullaby song, but some of the ideas and imagery from the Bramble Spell, which was led by Kareen Polwart.
Where sings a feathered choir, open the doors, unfold the shutters.
Some of those ideas and images just led me to think of the St. Kilda Wren and how this tiny species, subspecies, has evolved pretty much in isolation on these far-flung islands that are really in many ways at the edge of Scotland, the edge of Europe. They feel like they're on the edge of the world, and they've survived and thrived and continue, and there's something very powerful in that thought.
Yeah. It's interesting you mention the idea of, like, charms, because the next song we're going to hear, which is just you and the other women in the ensemble, is called Daisy. Mm-hmm. And the words here almost strike me as, like, a game song, or, you know, a children's rhyme or something like that. It seems like that's what the intent, you know, what McFarlane was going for.
Yeah, I mean, there's something very beautiful about it. It's actually a very clever little spell, and some of the internal rhyming is maybe they loop together. So the whole poem, it's almost like the idea of a daisy chain, but he's done that through the lyrics and through the words. So it's a really special little poem. But yeah, I guess when Beth Porter led that song, and as soon as she started singing it, we were all just sitting outside. It was a really sunny day, you know, we were just sitting on the grass, and those were the harmonies and the shape that came out that day. But it feels like that's how it should be sung.
So those harmonies, that wasn't like, you know, lots of working out with notation. Do we want a major third and a minor seventh? It was just,
no,
that's what came out.
No. Yeah, it genuinely really was. And we just recorded it on the phone, and I don't think it took more than maybe an hour.
The writing, yeah, it's just amazing. I think, like I was saying earlier, the fact that the words are well chosen, written,
yeah,
and the image are amazing. For us, reacting on it is quick.
Yeah.
It's really quick. And the daisies, when the girls are singing it in front of, so Jim, myself, and Chris sitting, just watching it. I like you call it, it's like, almost like a game going in front of us, but we are not part of it, in a way.
All right, well, let's...
That's the beauty.
let's give the boys a break for a moment and hear the
exactly.
the women from Spell Songs doing this live performance of Daisy. This is Beth Porter with the ukulele, everybody else singing. This is a song from the latest record by Spell Songs called Let the Light In, but this again a live performance. Called Daisy, performed by some of the members of Spell Songs, Corinne Polwart, Julie Fowlis, Rachel Newton, Beth Porter, Beth playing the ukulele, and once again joined at the microphone by Julie Fowlis and Sekou Keita. Sekou, where was this album made? Where was all this sitting and playing and recording on phones happening?
Well, the recording actually happened at Ringworld. In Bath at the Peter Gabriel studio, mm-hmm. as recording-wise, but the writing didn't start there.
No, we got together from in the northwest of England, near in the Lake District, and it was quite a special time, wasn't it? Because it was at the end of April last year, so 2021.
I think it was nearly cancelled a few times.
It was, and it took a lot of planning and work to actually just get us all in the one place safely.
And by then, in fact, the second album, we were more like
a band,
yeah. You know, together.
Whereas I think with the first album, we were more like a project and we were still finding out, I guess, what we sounded like. Whereas when we mm-hmm. came together the second time to work on the second record, we could, you know, I was thinking about songs and I knew what Sekou would bring or what harmonies the others would sing, or you know, so we had this idea of how we could shape the album probably a bit better.
And so did you each come in with songs already in mind? I mean, for example, Sekou, you wrote Barn Owl for the current record, for the second volume, in many languages. There's Scots, Gaelic, Mandinka. That must have been a lot of fun. But so did you arrive at the studio with kind of a plan there, or was that something that happened once you all got together?
Well, I arrived with a plan, you know, ahead of the melody ideas, but really open. So, you know, when you come with a plan, but not a close one, that you know that either Julie will, you know, jump in, or Karine, or anyone. So it was that beauty arriving there. And of course, when I first read it and the book was all in English, because of the way that Rob did it was amazing. And my approach to it, I have to relate it to where I come from and what I know. So my language was my first thing to use. Selumanata, Luba de Teresa. Gaelic, and all mixed together with oral language, which is actually there's no difference in English and that.
There is no English in that. No.
So it's also like translating the English part of it to this language. Yeah. So it was great.
It was good, and Crean added some Scots to it as well, which gave it another layer and another musical flavour. I think when you add different languages, the languages, I think by their very nature, they bring different sounds and rhythms. And also melodic influences into songs. So although a lot of the words here are spoken, to my mind, they bring different musical feels and flavors.
Well, in Rob McFarlane's original English text, one of the lines that struck me was the line, "Take no more than you need," which neatly connects to the next song we're going to hear, which is Thrift. Because that idea that, you know, hardship is a limit, not a failing, to quote McFarlane again, that idea of economy and conservation and being aware of resources, we've in the modern West, we've kind of gotten away. It's just we have everything, so we just use everything.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, way up north, Julie, where you're originally from, you know, the only reason people survived up there was they knew how to deploy their resources, kind of sense of thrift.
You're absolutely right. And of course, in Scotland, there's perhaps a little bit of a negative connotation to the word thrift. It has maybe a sense of being mean or you know, not being generous, whereas, in fact, the idea of thrift and the plant thrift, which exists in coastal regions, usually quite tough places to survive. It has the idea of resilience and yet the idea of just knowing when you have enough. So it's quite a powerful message, and this has been one that has, I think that the thread of thrift appears in some of the other spells too, that idea of just knowing when you have enough, and that's something that it's a message that feels really important actually to share right now.
Yeah. And there is a wonderful kind of musical evocation of that in this arrangement, where it's just the seven of you standing around in a circle singing and playing simple little hand percussion. There's no guitar, there's no kora, no piano. Seku, you're just banging a couple of sticks together, right?
Not only a stick, but...
No, Seku is actually playing the ancient Scottish instrument, otherwise known as the spirtle, which is a wooden implement that you use to stir pottage with. So we found another use for them, so we gave him a couple of spirtles and...
So basically I have a new instrument. I got two choices.
That is very, very economical use
exactly.
of your material.
Exactly. There you go. So either play with it or just make porridge. Yeah. So two choices.
It's musical and it's delicious. Let's hear this. let's hear this live performance of the song Thrift. A version of it appears on the second of the Spell Songs albums called Let the Light In. Here's a live performance of Thrift.
Thank you.
Called Thrift by the group called Spell Songs. This is from Volume 2 by Spell Songs called Let the Light In. Everybody singing: Corrine Polwart, Julie Fowlis, Sekou Keita, Chris Drever, Rachel Newton, Beth Porter, Jim Molyneux, little bits and pieces of percussion there as well. I love the line, Julie, at the end, Thrift's gift is, Thrift's grace is, to give a glimpse of hope in the tightest of spots, the toughest of places.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like a kind of statement of intent for the whole Spell Songs project.
It does. It kind of resonates with me on lots of levels. It resonates in terms of the survival of some of the traditions that we come from, in terms of the languages that exist, the language I speak, the Gaelic language, surviving kind of in the furthest outposts. Yeah, there's a very hopeful message in that, I guess, if we pay attention and take care of what we have,
yeah,
that there's hope going forward.
And Sekou, for people who, you know, kind of looking at this roster of musicians and think, well, what's this West African musician doing here with all these Scottish and English, you know, musicians? This is not the first time you've worked with, you know, British musicians. I mean, I think I first heard you with Baka Beyond back in the...
Wow.
That's got to be the 90s, right?
Indeed.
You did the music with Catherine Finch, the Welsh harpist and stuff. It seems like maybe, you know, when you dig deep enough, the roots all kind of touch somehow. There are connections that can be found.
Indeed. I think for me, really, connecting with all these people that you name and then where I am at the moment, for me, there's no border. We just need to, I always look at similarities that we have, but also celebrate our differences. This is where I look all the time, so all my collaborations. So England will become my second home, and the culture is here, and I'm part of it. So this is how I look at things, really.
Yeah. Myself and Sekou have more that bind us, that we have in common, than we that are different. Absolutely, in terms of our background, and languages, and yeah, the places that we come from are very, very different. Mm. But that there's far more that connect us.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Than differentiate.
It is. And the words in the books are just something else. And in the first album I had this duo with Julie, a song called Papa Keba,
yeah,
which is just talk not only about the words that have been lost, but the words have been taken away because simply they've been dominated by
the dominating language.
Yeah. And yeah, and or general terms. Mm-hmm. So all of this kind of speak to me, to where I come from and where I am at the moment. So it's really like, this is how I feel connected to it.
Ultimately, it's Rob and Jackie's work that is the bedrock of everything we do.
Mm-hmm.
So they give us the starting point for everything.
The tools.
And the tools. And we just take that and then we respond to it.
So if there were to be a Spell Songs Volume 3, that would depend on Rob and Jackie putting out another collection somehow?
I guess so. Yeah.
No
All right,
pressure.
Well, let's tell them to get to it then, because I want to hear more.
We'll start working on them.
Julie Fowlis and Sekou Keita have been joining me at the microphone. We've heard the whole band, Spell Songs, doing some live performances of songs from actually both of their records, Volume 1, The Lost Words, Volume 2, Let the Light In. Thank you so much. This has been great fun. I love these recordings, and I love the ideas behind it. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
The
poplar is the whispering tree, and the rowan is the sheltering tree. The willow is the weeping tree, and the oak is waiting.
Watch the videos of those live performances from Spell Songs on the New Sounds YouTube channel, or right here at newsounds.org. Spell Songs Volume 2, Let the Light In, is out now. And I'd like to thank the Soundcheck crew, as usual, Technical Director Irene Trudell, our producer Karen Havlick, and our video editor David McLean. I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.